So we're holding on Ayin Bay, on Ayin Aleph Amud Bays, the fourth line. There's only those grand total of seven lines on the entire block. We're right in the middle of it by the two dots. The Gemara says, the question that Chachamim asked is, Gerushin Kishna. We've established before that when a daughter makes a neder and her father then has rishus over it, or when a married woman makes a neder and her husband has rights to be made for it, or when she's an arusa, and we said both of them together do. So we established that there's a few different things that the husband, that the man can do. He can veto the neder, he can be made for it, or he can be makayim it, he can explicitly say, good for you, I approve of this neder, or he can do nothing, and by shkia, the neder takes effect. So Iboilahu, the question was, Gerushin kishsika damya oika hakoma damya. What is, suppose that the chosin divorces her without having been made for the neder. Is that the equivalent of being quiet? And therefore, so in other words, he hasn't done anything yet. So it would mean, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, if he himself now is Makadishu again, or for that matter, if he himself is Makadishu again, then he still has the ability to be made for that neder, if it's all the same day. Or if somebody else is Makadishu, then as we learned before, that new Chosin, together with her father, has the ability to be made for the Nedarim. So would that work? Oy kahakoma damya, or is it the equivalent of being Makayim the neder, and having been Makayim it, then we can't. Then he can't cancel it anymore. Now, why would it be considered like a chama? So the Ran explains, because he knows that after he divorces her, he won't have the ability to be made for her nedarim anymore. So therefore, by divorcing her, in effect, he's saying that he's being mekayim the neder because he knows full well that afterwards Hitaka won't be able to be made for it. So in the same way, for example, that in general, we know from the Pesukim that if he's quiet and doesn't say anything, then comes the end of the day, then automatically, by default, it becomes established. So here it could be the same thing. The Shittim Kovetis brings another interesting idea as well. We could say, since he divorced her, Mestame, he doesn't like her. So if he doesn't like her, then Mestame, he wants that whatever neder she took on, which is going to deprive her of something, because that's the type of nedarim that we're talking about, should be upheld. So the Gemara says, L'mai naftimina. So what's the practical difference? The practical difference would be, suppose that she made a neder, her husband, which is to say her chosin, divorced her, and then he remarried her on the same, and then he was remakadish her on the same day. Now, first of all, the Ran points out, we have to be, when we say the husband, we have to specifically talking about the, have to be talking about the orus, because otherwise, if she's married, then once she's married, her father has no rights over her nedarim anymore, and here we're talking about her husband. The rule is, we already established, ain't a baal made for the koidman, a husband of a fully married woman does not have the right to be made for any nedarim that took place before he married. So therefore, if they were to be fully married, and then he divorces her, and then at that point, all of her nedarim, of course, are established, because even if he remarries her on the same day, he still has lost the right to be made for any of those nedarim. So that's one point. Another point is that he says it doesn't have to have to be that it does have to that we said. So it has to be, when we said baila, we don't mean a full-fledged husband, we mean an orus. Second of all, when we say vahadra, doesn't have to specifically mean that he himself remarried her, or was remakadish her. It would be just as good if somebody else did. Same idea. In other words, we would say that the new chosin, as usual, together with the father, because we're talking about an arusa, would be able to be made for the neder. So it wouldn't have to be specifically that we're talking about, that he himself, was Makadisher again. The Ritva actually points out there is a good reason for it to say that he was the one with Makadisher, because we touched on this yesterday. The fact is, there is a Gzeira Dirabonim most of the time. If a woman has been married or in Kiddushin and then divorced or widowed, she usually, as we learned in Yevamos, has to wait 3 months before she's allowed to remarry. So we would say that in this case as well. So how would somebody else be able to be Makadisher again right away?
So therefore, it makes better sense to say that he himself was Mekadesher, but in fact, the same din would apply also if somebody else did. The third point that Ran points out is it does have to be the Yomei, it does have to be on that day, because obviously if he left it until the next day, then look, since the day has passed already, he already heard it on that day and he let it pass, then anyway, the neder is going to be in effect, so there's nothing to talk about as far as being made for it. Anyway, so now the question is, again, him having divorced her, is that considered the equivalent of him being Mekayim the neder? So do we say, So if we're going to say that divorce is considered like being quiet, well then good, Motzi Meifala, when he is re-Mekadesh her later that day, or when somebody else is, then good, then he or the new Chosan, together with the father, can still be made for that day because there hasn't been any Hakama yet. The E Omer Ma'aka Hakama dummy, but if we were to say that it's the equivalent of Hakama, loy motzi meifala, then they're not going to be able to be meifala because once either one of them was mekayim in the neder, then it remains. So that's the question. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from a braisa. Toshma, we learned this braisa previously. Emasai omru mesabal misroikin rishus la'av. What is the scenario that we said? Now we learned yesterday in particular that when if the chosin dies, then the entire rishus on the neder reverts to the father. We call that misroikin. Literally means it was emptied out because we imagine it as though there was a keli that the father has, where in which he has the right to do something to be made for the neder. We imagine as though the chosin has the keli as well. And when the chosin dies, then misroikness is if we empty out his keli and it reverts to the father. So when do we say mesabal misroikna rishos la'av? When do we say that if the husband heard the neder, that if the husband died, then the rishos reverts to the father, and the father alone, as long as he's still a ktana or a naira, can be made for the neder, is only v'zman shalei shama baal. We said if the husband did not hear the neder at all, oy shama v'hefer, or he heard the neder and was made for, and the father didn't have a chance to be made for before the chosin died, oy shama v'shasek v'mes v'yoyim, or if he was quiet, and or if he heard it and was quiet and then died on that day. In all those three scenarios, we're saying that now Nisroikna, that now the Rishus over this neder reverts to the husband, it reverts to the father exclusively. Now, given the Rosh points out, the Braisa is obviously trying to go through all the possible scenarios that we could say that the father still has the ability to be made for the neder. The Iamat Gerish and Kishsika Jamu, if you're going to tell me that Gerushin is the equivalent of being quiet, listening now, even the Braisa should mention a fourth possibility. Let the Braisa also mention the case where he heard and divorced her. The fact, and we would say that would be considered, again, we would say that would be the equivalent of being quiet. Midloy Tony Hochi. So since the Braisa doesn't mention that possibility, Shmamina Gerushin Kakoma Domu. Doesn't that seem to show that Gerushin are in fact considered a Hakoma? So therefore the Braisa can't mention that because in fact in that case the father cannot be Mefer. Because we know that once the Chosin was Mekayim, then that's it. The neder is upheld and the father can't do anything about it. Hello, Ellie. I'm Bezim at Aleph at the top rolling. So if we say that Gerushin are considered like Hakama, that explains why the Braisa doesn't mention that among the cases where Misroik and Rishus La'av, where the Rishus reverts to the father and he can be made for the neder, because in fact he can. We know that once the Chosin was Mekayim the neder, then the father can't do anything with it. So if we say that Gerushin is considered like Hakama, then there you go. That's why he doesn't mention Gerushin either. But if Gerushin is like being quiet, then the Braisa should have mentioned that as well, because it's trying to mention all the possible scenarios. The answer is, the Gemara says, that's not a proof, because Ema Seker, because look at the next part of the Braisa. The Braisa then continues with several other cases. This is, again, the long Braisa that we learned on Daf Samaches that went into the talk of Samachtes, where we were dealing with Machlokes Vishama Vishil over there about what the nature is of each of them being made for his half of the neder. Anyway, so, uh, So in a sefer, so look at the sefer of that braisa. Avil and shama v'kiyim. The braisa says if he heard the neder, if the husband, the chosan that is, heard the neder and was mekayim, oy shama v'shosak, or he heard but was and was quiet, where therefore that means the neder is not yet in effect. But mes the yom shel achrav, he died the next day. Where by the time shtia of the one day comes, then already his being quiet means that the neder is now in effect. Ein yochel l'hafer. Then we say even though the chosan has died, then the father cannot be mefer, because now already the chosan was either mekayimit or implicitly was mekayimit by letting it go until shtia. Now the yam gerushin ta'koma damu. If you're going to tell me, so what are we asking over here? Whether gerushin is whether him divorcing her is considered like hakoma or hafara? Well, if you say it's considered like hakoma, again the braisa is trying to mention every possible scenario. Listen to being shama v'gerush. So then it should also mention the case where he heard it and divorced her. Ela midloy katani hafi, and you would have to say that since it doesn't say that, shmamino gerushin kishsika damu. Wouldn't that demonstrate that gerushin is in fact considered like being quiet? Ella, the fact is, we have to say, Mahalakala Mishma Mine. The answer to the fact is, we can't prove anything one way or the other from this braisa. E Resha Dafka Nos, E Resha Dafka, if you're going to say the Resha is particular, meaning that the Resha is in fact listing every possible case, then Nosif Sefer Mishum Resha. Then in the Sefer, it uses the cases that are similar to the Resha, so it's not going to mention in the Sefer a new case that it wouldn't have been able to in the Resha. E Sefer Davka, and if you're going to say that the Sefer is particular and it lists every possible case that where the father cannot be Mekayim, and you're going to say therefore that would demonstrate that Gerushin is like Hafara, and therefore it can't mention it because in fact then the father does have the right. Then you would say Nasiv Resha Mishum Sefer. Then you would say it's mentioning cases in the Resha only that would be parallel to ones in the Sefer. So you can't prove one way or the other from this braisa. Maybe if he divorced her, it is considered like hafara. Maybe if he divorced her, it is considered like hakama. But the braisa, the two halves of the braisa can't say it because you'd only be able to mention it in one half of the braisa. You wouldn't be able to mention it for parallelism in the other half of the braisa. So actually, the Rabbi Akiva Eger asks in Gilui Nashas. He says, well, why ever not? Why can't the ratio of the braisa, suppose we say that gerushin is considered like shsika, it's considered like being quiet, and therefore if he's makadosh again that same day, then he's able to be made for the neder, because we already established before that a chosen is able to be made for b'koydmin, he's able to be made for a neder that took place before he was ever makadosh, and in this case that's how it would be, because it would took place before this new condition. So fine, let the braisa say that if the chosen heard and was and divorced her, and that it was quiet and divorced her that day, then the father still has the ability to be made for the neder the rest of that day. On the other hand, if he was quiet and didn't say anything and then he divorced her the next day, then the father cannot be made for. So why can't the braisa say that? And then you would have a parallel between the resha and the sefer. And in fact, it would be mentioning the case of divorce. So why is the Gemara not entertaining that possibility? So the Rashash discusses it, and he says essentially because then you could argue that in one part of the braisa there wouldn't really be much of a chiddush in it, because after all there's no chiddush that if he divorces her the next day the father can't be mefer. We know already that the next day you can't be mefer, so therefore he says that would be a reason. Apparently Rabbi Akiva Eger he uses the expression Bashem Yoyer Eini, may Hashem enlighten my eyes, where they say that in Gilui Nashas, in the notes of Rabbi Akiva Eger on Shas, when he says something is Tzorich Iyun, then it's a question but not such a big question. Tzorich Iyun Gadol means a greater question, and Hashem Yoreini is the strongest expression you can use, that there's something I really can't figure out over here. So apparently he would not like that answer of the Rashash, but that's all we have. Okay, in any case, the point is we can't prove one way or the other from this braisa. Maybe the braisa didn't mention, the braisa evidently could have mentioned gerushin in one half or the other, but it didn't for parallelism. We don't know from this braisa one way or the other which half gerushin would belong in, whether it's considered like shtika or whether it's considered like hakam. Okay, the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. We learned in our Mishnah, we learned yesterday, not Rabbi Hiya Arusa, if she made a neder when she was in Arusa, Venis Garsha, and then she was divorced on that day, Venis Arusa, she was divorced, on that day. Venis Arusa Boiba Yom, and she was Nisaris to on another day, Vafilu Lameya, even if it's 100, so even she was in Kiddushin to Reuven, and then Reuven divorced her, and then she was Niskadish to Shimon, which, okay, we said before, the Ritzvah says maybe she shouldn't have done that, because Shloish HaKadoshim and all, but B'dievet, if she did, of course, the Kiddushin are valid, and then Shimon divorced her that day, and then Levi was Makadisher, and so on and so forth, no matter how many it is. We said that her father, together with her current husband, can be made for all of her Nedarim. Now, on the face of it, that means all of her nedarim, that means whether she made them when she was in Kiddushin to Reuven or not. So the Gemara says, So evidently, wouldn't that mean that Reuven divorcing her, or Shimon divorcing her, is considered the equivalent of Shtika? If you're going to say that it's considered like Hakama, mean Matzah Mefer Arus Achron, Nidrid Oitim Arus Richard, how could the last Arus be able to be Mefer a Neder that the previous Arus was Makayim? We know that once the previous Arus was Makayim, once her Arus at the time is Makayim and Neder, then that's it. It's Makoyim, and nobody can do anything with it. So obviously, if Reuven were to explicitly say, I am Makayim this Neder, then nothing doing. We can't do anything with it. Well, if we say that Gerushin is considered like Hakama, then it would be the same thing. The fact that we're saying in the Mishnah that not, the fact that we said that the fact that Shimon is able to be made for Nedarim, that Reuven had, that after Reuven had divorced her, would seem to indicate that Gerushin is considered like Shtika. And therefore, that the Neder is still open for Hafara. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that's not a solid proof because Hacha Maya Skinen, because you could answer that what are we talking about over here? B'shaloi Shama Orus Rishin. You know what? The case of our Mishnah could be talking about where the first Orus never heard of the Neder. So in other words, the case would be not that she made a Neder and Reuven heard about it and then divorced her. Maybe we could say that divorce would be the equivalent of Hakam. And therefore, when she misadders to somebody even that day, then there's no hafara possible. But what we're saying is, if Reuven never heard of the Neder, and he divorced her, so then we're saying that Shimon is now able to be made for the Neder together with her father. So Gemara says, Yehochi ma'iriya boi b'yoyim. Well, then why does the Mishnah need to, if that were the case, then why does the Mishnah need to mention that it happened on that day? Afilu la'acha me'a yomim nami. The same thing could be true even if it was 100 days later. Because after all, as long as the Orus has not been as not for it, then he can still be made for it. The answer is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's true the Orus had not heard the Neder yet. But the father had heard of it. So therefore, the boy v'yim hu d'mati mefer. So now the father is only to be able to be made for on that day, because as soon as he hears it, the clock starts ticking. But on later days, he's not going to be able to be made for. And since we know we need the father and the husband together to be made for, so now if she's only nisaris the next day or some days later or whatever, then it's too late for the father to be made for. So therefore, automatically, the neder is going to be in effect. So the Ran explains that when the Gemara asked the question, the Gemara assumed, for purposes of the question, that if we're talking about the Bechosin and heard it, then the Mishnah mentioned the point of Boi Bayoin to imply that he had heard about it, so therefore the clock starts ticking. He only has until the end of that day to be made for, and the Mishnah wants us to know that Gerushin are like Shtika, and therefore the second one can be made for that day. But if you're going to tell me the Mishnah says Boiba Yom just because the father heard that day, then the Mishnah, then why should the Mishnah have to tell us that kind of case? The Mishnah could have just as well told us that wouldn't it be obvious once the father hears, the clock starts ticking. So wouldn't it be obvious? The Mishnah, therefore, the Machshon assume that the Gemara, that the Mishnah did not have to tell us that case. And the answer is that nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that case. Even it's true, there's no chiddush, but the fact is, that is the halacha. If the father hears it, then he only has until the end of the day. So, okay, so there's not much of a chiddush in the Mishnah, but nevertheless, that could be what the Mishnah is saying. There's no proof that the Mishnah is saying a case where neither the father nor the Oros heard, and therefore to say that would show that the Oros divorce, or rather to say that we should consider that the Oros, that the Mishnah is talking about where the Oros did hear, and to say that him divorcing her is considered like shtika, not necessarily can you prove that from the Mishnah. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means, but on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about that the Oros never heard of it, so why are we mentioning Reba Yoin? Because the father heard of it, and therefore the clock is ticking for him. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. A Mishnah later on, towards the end of our Masechta, says, Nadra Boibayim, if the wife made a neder on that day, the Girsha, and the husband divorced her, Bechzira Boibayim, and then he remarried her on that same day, Ein Yochel L'Hafer, then he can't be Mefer. Well, there we go. Then obviously, so therefore that means the Gemara is assuming for purposes of the question that we're talking about an Arusa. So if we're saying he can't be, what, now why shouldn't he be able to be Mefer if he remarried her on that same day? He should be, we know the rule with an Arus is that he can be Mefer anything from before his Arusin as long as it's that day. So evidently then we have to be talking about that, so if we assume we're talking about an Arusa, then that would show that Gerushin are considered like a Kama. And therefore, so you'd have to be talking about, therefore necessarily you'd have to be talking about that again in our Mishnah, it would have to be that the Arus heard and then divorced her. So Shmamina, so doesn't that prove Gerushin Ka'akoma Damu? Doesn't that show that Gerushin is the equivalent of Hakama, and therefore having divorced her, even though he remarries her, he can't be Mefer anymore? Why not? Because if we assume we're talking about an Orus, even though it's all Boi Bayoim, he was already Makayim, and once he was Makayim, he can't be Mefer. Because the answer is, the Gemara says, Amri, the Chachamim answered, that's not a proof, because Hocha ben Nesua Skinim. Because as a matter of fact, that Mishnah is talking about a Nesua. It's not talking about an Arusa at all. You are assuming it's talking about an Arusa. It's not. It's talking about a Nesua. A Nesua is a whole different matter. Behind your time again, your Cholahofer, you know why it can't be Mefer. Mishum de Enabal, Mefer Bekoidman, because the husband when there's Nesuin has taken place, the husband no longer has, the husband has no right to be Mefer Nedarim that took place before he married her, as we learned earlier in the parak from Sukkim, how we know that. Only by the Oros do we say that he can do that. So there's no proof from there that it means the Gerushin is like Hakama. Maybe, in fact, the Gerushin is like Shtika, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, now we have a new marriage, and the new marriage means that any Nidorim before that marriage are out of the picture as far as him being able to be made for them. In fact, the Ram points out that, you're not going to say also that once she's divorced, she returns to her father's Rishus, because once she's divorced, once she's Nesua, then she's out of her father's Rishus anyhow. So therefore, there's no such thing of Misroikna to the father either. Once her husband divorces her, that's it. Then any Nedarim that she has at that point are in effect, regardless whether we say that the divorce is considered like Hakama or like Hafara. Once he divorces her, we said the divorce could be like Shtika. Doesn't matter, though. The fact is, once he divorces her, then it's as if the day is over. The Nedir is now in effect, because she doesn't have a husband, and she doesn't have a father who doesn't have a father that she's in his Rishus anymore either, because she's out of his Rishus. In fact, the Meiri asked the question, what was the Gemara even thinking in the question? Doesn't it realize that Mishnah at the end of the Masechta that we quoted is talking about a Nesua? And he answers that he brings from Tosfos that in fact the Gemara assumed that since he is remarrying her on the same day, then maybe it should be considered like a continuation of the first marriage, and therefore he should be able to be made for. And the Gemara is answering that no, he can't do that. So the bottom line is, the Gemara hasn't answered the question whether Gerushin are like Shtika or like Hatam. So the Ran discusses that, he says that Ramban and also the Rambam hold that it's a suffix, and therefore you can't assume that it's Shtika. You have to assume that it might be Hafara, and therefore the Neder is in effect. On the other hand, he says that the Rashba disagrees. He says the Rashba says, look, we had previously, and Dachai Nalef, we learned yesterday, a statement of Shmuel that said that whether the first Arus heard of the, that where Shmuel understood our Mishnah, where we said, Nodravihi Arusim, Skarshabaviyem, Nisarasabaviyem, Philomea, where we said, it means she made the neder while she was an Arusa, then she was divorced, then she was re-Nisaris on the same day to somebody else and so forth, then we said, Ovio, Baila Achron, that the father and the last husband, the last Arus, can be made for the Nadarim, and we said in the Gemara that Shmuel understands that to mean, that even if the first Arus heard of them. So therefore, the Rashba says, and the Rashba is saying, that look, fine, the Gemara over here has the question. The fact is, Shmuel already answered the question before. Okay, the reason why the Gemara didn't bring Shmuel for an answer is because the Gemara is trying to bring an answer from a Mishnah of Braisa. The Braisa, the Gemara is saying, okay, very nice, we have a statement of Shmuel, but we want to see if we can actually back it up with a Mishnah or a Braisa. And if we can't, then the Gemara is leaving the question open. But the Rashba says, nevertheless, we're not going to say. The fact is, we do have Shmuel saying, with a Peshittos, saying, as we learned yesterday, that he learned clearly from his Rebbeim, that yes, the later Arus can be made for the Nedarim that were heard by the first Arus, and then he divorced her. So therefore, we're not going to say that we leave the question open when we have a clear statement of Shmuel to the contrary. Okay, in Shulchan Aruch, it still brings the according to the Rambam and the Ramban that say that it's a suffix, and therefore we have to assume that the neder is in effect, because maybe the Gerushin are considered like Hakama. Okay, Mishnah says.
So what's the halacha?
So that's the halacha. So the halacha in the end, in Shulchan Aruch, is that you have to consider, because of the suffix, you have to consider that the neder is Mekoyim, and therefore that the neder is in effect, and therefore that nobody can be made for it anymore. Because maybe their chasin divorcing her, having heard the neder, is the equivalent of shtika. So therefore, it would mean, in other words, when would we say that Nisroit, according to that then, when would we say Nisroit and Rishus La'ab, that if she's divorced or her chasin dies, then the father alone is able to be made for the neder, we would have to be talking about specifically where the first chassan did not hear of the neder. But if he heard of it and then divorced her, then in fact we would say that maybe the divorce is considered the equivalent of hakama, and therefore that the neder can no longer be, that it's impossible to cancel that neder anymore.
So if he didn't hear the neder, so what's the halacha?
Then the din would be. Then we would have Nisroit and Rishus La'ab. Then we would say that the Rishus on that neder reverts to the father, because now she being a Naira, and she being a Naira, and only Erisin was done, not Nisroit yet, then she's still, and she goes back to the Rishus of her father. That was the rule we said in the Mishnah. Anytime she's not in her Rishus, then we go back to that her father before the next Erisin, or her father plus her chassan after the next Erisin, can be made for her neder as long as it's all on the same day. Mishnah says, "Derech Tamid Chachamim." The way of Tamid Chachamim. Now, Tamid Chachamim are particular. They want to make sure that people are not going to be over on Nedarim. So we don't mean it's not something that only Tamid Chachamim should do. Other people should do this as well. But this was the style of Tamid Chachamim. Ad Shaloi Hoisa Bita Yotzes Me'etzloi, but Yotzes Me'etzloi, before his daughter would leave his Rishus. So in other words, we have to remember that as a Naira Hamayrosa, the father still has the rights, together with the Chosin, to be made for her Nedarim. But once she goes to Nisuin, then that's not going to be possible anymore. And in fact, then at that point, once it comes Nisuin, if there's any outstanding Nedarim that she has, it will be impossible to be made for them. The father won't be able to because of the Nisuin. The husband won't be able to because Ein Abal made for Bekoidman, because we already established that a full husband is not able to veto Nedarim that came before he married her. Only an Orus is able to. So therefore, the way of Tamid Chachamim, Ad Shalai Hoysa Bita Yotze Me'etzloi, before his daughter would leave his Rishus, before she would go to the Chuppah for the Nisuin, Omer, the father would tell her, Kol Nedarim Shenadai Pesach Besi, all the Nedarim that you made while you were living in my house, Harehin Mufarin, then they are Mufar. We're going to discuss in the Gemara. Does that mean that he doesn't have to have actually heard the Nedarim? We're going to see that. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. But the point is that he's saying that that there'll be mufur while he still has the opportunity. The chen habal, similar to the husband, absolutely tikonis the rishus, before she enters his rishus, meaning before the nisuin take place, oimala, he will tell her, kol nedarim shenadarut absolutely tikonsi the rishusi, any nedarim that you made before you entered my rishus, meaning before our nisuin, harehen beforein, then they're mufur, and that works, we combine together, now we have, good, the father has been mefer, the chosin has been mefer, and therefore we're good. And therefore now the Nedarim are now Mufar, Shemishi Tikonis the Rishosesh, Ein Yachal HaHafer, because after all, once she enters as Rishos, he's not going to be able to be Mefer, because Ein HaBaal Mefer B'Koidmin, because he's not able to be Mefer ones that took place before he married her. It's an interesting word I saw from a pin, they bring from a Pinchas Koritzer, that when Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Luchos on Yom Kippur was like a miniature wedding between Hashem and the Jewish people, and in fact every wedding is like it was like a wedding between Hashem and the Jewish people. In fact, every wedding is in a certain sense a Yom Kippur for the Chosin and Kala. It's a reason why they fast on the day of the wedding. So therefore, appropriately enough, just like we're saying over here that before the wedding, the father and the Chosin are made for Hunadarim. Similarly, before Yom Kippur, we say Kol Nidre to be made for any of our Nedarim that we did in the past. Although, I mean, you know, you can get into, we got into it extensively earlier in the Masechta, that technically the way we say Kol Nidre nowadays is not really being made for Nedarim of the past. It's more making a stipulation about Nedarim for the future, but still, I'll be Derech HaRemez, you have this association between a wedding and Yom Kippur and being made for and being Matu Nedarim. So the Gemara starts out. Boy, Rami Bacham, Baal Maushi Yofa Beloy Shmira. Can the husband be Mefer the Nedarim? And for that matter, the question is not only about the husband. The question, all the Mefoshim of the year, the Ran and Tosfos and the Rosh and everybody say that the question is actually also equally well on the father. Can he be Mefer Nedarim without actually hearing the Nedar? So can he say at some point during the day? Can he say any Nedarim that you made today are Mufer whether he heard them or not? The question is, Rami Bachama's question is, now the Pasuk says, Vishama Isha, the Pasuk says that her husband hears, and so, okay, first it talks about in the Pasuk where he hears and it's quiet, but then it goes on to say that on the other hand he can be Mefer, and in fact the Keren Ora points out, you can't very well say that the Vishama, the question is whether the Vishama is going to be specific. Does it specifically mean that he has to have heard, or is that just the normal way of saying that when he's Mefer is when he heard? We can't say that the Vishama refers to being quiet, because obviously if he didn't hear the Neder, there's nothing for him to be quiet about. We said before, in fact, until he hears the Neder, the clock doesn't start ticking. So obviously, therefore, the Keren Ora says, the Gemara is assuming that necessarily the Vishama, the word he hears, has to refer to the Hafara. So now the question is, does it mean davgahu? Does it mean it must be that way, that he has to hear the neder, and without that he can't be made for it? Oy lav davgahu. Or maybe it's not davka. Maybe it's just typically when you made for a neder, when you heard who making the neder, but in fact it would work equally well even if he hadn't done the neder. Even if he hadn't heard the neder. So maybe at the end of the day, maybe at the end of every day, a father is able to say to his daughter, or a husband is able to say to his wife, any nedarim that you made today, and you'll say it a minute before Shkia, any nedarim that you made today are mufer, and that'll work whether he heard them or not. So that's Rami Bachama's question. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Toshma. So let's prove from our Mishnah. We said Derech Tamei Chachamim, the way of Tamei Chachamim is to do Ad Shela Yotzes Bita Ne'etzlei, before the daughter leaves his Rishus, before she goes to Nisuin. Oymala Kol Nedarim Shemadarit Pesach Besi Harehen Mufarin. He will say that any Nedarim that you made in my household are Mufar. Now, B'Holoi Shama. On the face of it, we have to be talking about he didn't hear them. Otherwise, if we're talking about Nedarim that he actually heard, then he would say explicitly, then why would the Mishnah say that he says, Kol Nedarim, the Mishnah should say that he would say, Neder Ploini or Ploini. This Neder and this Neder, and he'd list out the Nedarim individually, that she made, that they're Mufar. So the fact that he doesn't say that, the fact that he says Kol Nedarim, doesn't that imply that he doesn't need to have heard them? Regardless, he can be made for them. The Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof. L'chi Shoma hu de Mefer. No, because what it can mean is afterwards, when he hears them, then he'll be made for them again. So maybe, in other words, he says Harein Mufarin, but really, maybe really, that doesn't help. In fact, he would have to, in fact, afterwards, he would have to hear the Nedarim again. And then once he hears them again, as long as it's Moshkiah, then he would be made for again. Now, the Ran points out, the Ran and the Rosh point out, that further on, the Gemara is going to bring up the possibility with the husband that maybe he's made for, maybe he says the Hafara in such a way that it should take place retroactively. But here he can't do that because once she's in Nisuin, once she enters Nisuin, then the husband, then the father no longer has the ability to be made for the Nedarim. So, not retroactively, but the other way around. In other words, so later on, the Gemara is going to bring up the possibility with the husband that maybe he's mefer, and he says, I'm saying the hafara now. It should take effect later on when I actually hear from your mouth what the neder is. The problem is, with the father, that won't work. By that time, she'll be already have gone to Nisuin, and the father's going to lose his right for the hafara to work. So therefore, necessarily, we have to assume that it means the other way around, that it means that he's saying the hafara now, but later on, he's going to actually have to hear the neder before she does Nisuin, and then he'll be made for it again. So in that case, Rabbi Akiva Eger actually points out, in that case, then what's the good of it? He says the good of it is the daughter is not going to realize this whole lumbus. She's going to think maybe that once her father says I'm mefer, then that's it, the nedarim I'm mefer. So then she might as well tell him what the nedarim were anyway, because now she figures, look, they're no longer in effect. There's no, like this, in other words, the point is, he says, she would, after all, I mean, she made these nedarim, she would probably want them to be fulfilled. Otherwise, if she wanted them to be mefer, she wouldn't have said the neder in the first place. So therefore, so we have to assume she doesn't want them to be mufer. So if the father tells her, I need you to tell me what nedarim you said, then she may say, why should I tell you? I don't want you to be made for them. So what does the father do? He might be smart about it. He might say, I'm made for your nedarim without having heard them. It wouldn't actually work, because that's one possibility that we're saying so far, that maybe it doesn't work. But she wouldn't know that. She would think, okay, well, if it was mufer already, then I have nothing to lose by telling you. And she'll tell him, and then he'll say, oh, now I'm made for again. So maybe that's how it works. So the Gemara says, "Im kain the kila shamam lama lo demeimer." The Gemara says, "No, because if you're going to say that he can only be mefer after he hears the actual nedarim, then why is he even bother? Why is he even bothering to say kol nedarim shenadar tarei mafarim? Why should he bother saying that? He's anyway going to have to say it after he hears again." So the answer is hokamash malan. The answer is urcha b'tzurim rabbanon lahaduri. The answer is the Mishnah is telling us that it is usual for a Talmud Chacham to try to make an effort to mention this. In other words, leaving aside this cute idea of Rabbi Akiva Eger's that like this he'll say it's mufer and then she'll figure that she'll tell him and then he'll be made for again. But just the fact is the father may want to jog her memory. He wants to make sure that there shouldn't be any possibility of there being outstanding nedarim which she can't be made for, and then she may be over on those nedarim, and that's a serious thing. Or even as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that even to uphold the neder is not really such a good thing. So therefore, he may say, "Kol nedarim, all the nedarim that you said, harei mufarin," not because in fact they will be mufar at that point, but just because this way it'll jog her memory and it'll make her realize, you know what, my father really does want me to be made for the nedarim, so I guess I'd better tell him what they are so that he can be made for them. So that still doesn't prove that in fact he has to have heard them, that in fact he could be made for them without hearing them. Maybe in fact he has to hear them in order to be made for them. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, so let's try to bring another proof. The Mishnah continued, the Toshma mi Sefer. So let's try to prove from the Sefer of our Mishnah. The Chena Baal, actually to Konos L'Rishusai, we said the husband does the same kind of thing before she enters his Rishus, before the Nisuin, Oymullah, he says to her that any Nedarim that you made up until now should be Mufar. And again, the fact that he says kol nedarim seems to imply that he hadn't yet heard the nedarim, and was still saying that it works. So doesn't that show that it works? And the answer is hochanami de amal l'chishmain. The answer is not necessarily, because here also you could say that what he means is, when I hear the Nedarim, then the Hafara should take effect. So he's saying, right now I'm saying the Hafara, but I mean for it to be Chal only later. Now, there is a number of times in our sugya, we have over here, the line, l'chishmaina. Now, there are actually two different gersois. There's a gersa l'chishma, that when he hears, meaning that the hafara will take effect, that the hafara will take effect when he hears, or l'chishmaina, which means when I hear, meaning, in other words, that he's saying that I'm specifically having in mind that this hafara should take effect only when I hear your nedarim. So according to, if we say Shmaina, and before it was Shama, and the Ran pointed out, before it can't be Lachi Shama, it can't be saying that when he hears the Neder, because if he hears it after the Nisurin, it's too late for her, it's too late to be made for her, she's out of his Rishos already. But actually, the word Nami over here wouldn't mean, what is the word Nami doing over here? So in fact, the girsa is that so in other words the Ran brings another possible girsa that here also the word is supposed to be l'chi shama when he hears, and again the idea is like before the husband the chassan also being a tamar chacham, he wants to avoid that the neder should be in effect, and therefore he also is saying hat mufalach, but not really knowing full well that it's not yet being chal until she actually tells him the nedarim, and then he will be made for them. So if we have the words l'chi shama, as opposed to if he says l'chi shmana, then it's a different answer, in fact. And the Rosh also discusses the ins and outs of whether the Gemara, in fact, is giving a different answer here than it did before, or whether it's just repeating the same answer that we used by the father, that we're using that same answer again by the chosen. Where again, the difference is that the father is going to lose his rights forever once the Nisuin comes. On the other hand, the husband is still going to retain rights over her Nedarim after the Nisuin. It's just that he's going to have the difference of Koidmin or not. So therefore we can say, L'chit Shmaina, he's saying, when I hear the Neder, then at that point, I want what I said now, the Hafara that I said now, to actually take effect after that. So he only needs to say it once, but he's saying it now in advance and it'll take effect at the appropriate time when he actually hears the neder. So still no proof maybe that he can actually be mefer without ever hearing the neder. So the Gemara says Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. Later on in the Perek, we learn a Mishnah. Ha'oimah l'ishtoi, a man says to his wife, "Kol nedarim shetidori ad she'avi makom poni, any nedarim that you're going to make until I come back from such and such a place." So he's going out of town, let's say. So he's saying that any nedarim that you make from when I leave until I come back, harehin kayamin. Then if he says in advance that those nedarim are kayam, they're upheld, loy omaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything, because you can't be mekayam a neder before it actually exists. That's one reason. The Mefarish over here explains Quinton under Rashi's name, gives that explanation here and later on. The Rosh and Tosfos give a different point, because not necessarily. Who says that every single neder that she makes is going to end up being one that he approves of? What if there are nedarim that she makes during that time that he doesn't approve of? So how can he say as a blanket statement, any nedarim that you make, I trust you? In other words, in effect, he's saying, I trust you that any nedarim you'll make that I'll approve of, how do you know? There might very well be ones that he doesn't approve of. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying that it doesn't work. On the other hand, harehen mufarin. But if he says that any nedarim that you make between now and then are mufar in advance, Rabbi Eliezer or even mufar, Rabbi Eliezer says that that does work, and therefore that it does work to be made for them. Later on in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer explains that he's getting that based on a kavachoyim. If he's saying if hafara works even for nedarim that already were expressed, Then how much more so hafara should work for nedarim that never even were expressed and therefore are much less serious? Whereas when it comes to hakama, it's the other way around. A neder that already exists, then you can say hakama can apply to it. A neder that doesn't even exist yet, how can you talk about hakama for something that doesn't even exist yet? Or again, you have the Rosh's svara that what if she says a neder that he doesn't approve of? Anyway, so Rabbi Eliezer says that it's mufar. Now, it's true that that's only according to Rabbi Eliezer. it's true the Chachamim disagree with him. However, the Ram points out, the Chachamim are arguing that doesn't work on different grounds. They shlug up this Kal v'Chomer and they say that it doesn't work. But nevertheless, they do agree on the face of it with the basic point that even though you haven't heard a neder, you can be made for it. So then, in that case, the fact is, he didn't hear the neder, and still, fine, the Chachamim are saying you can't be made for it in advance, but that's for a different reason, not because they would hold that you can't be made for a neder you didn't hear, because they say in advance it's not going to work. Because they learned from a hekdesh over there between Hakama and Hafara that only where Hakama would work, and we just established that Hakama will work only for a neder that was already expressed, only then will Hafara work. But they, on the face of it, they agree with him with the fundamental point that conceivably you could be made for a neder that you haven't heard yet. So wouldn't that show then that that works? The Gemara answers, Hochanami, here also you can answer the Amalachishmaimah. No, because here also you could say that he means that when I hear of the neder, or again, you have the same dirsois as we said before, that it could mean Lachishmaimah, when I hear, or maybe Lachishoma, that he's saying when he hears about it. Either way, he's saying, in other words, that yes, when he hears the neder, then the clock starts ticking, then he can be made for the neder on that day. But not really that the neder, not really that the afara is taking place in advance, according to the Chachamim, at least. Or if we say Lachishmai, no, then fine, he's saying, I'm saying the afara now, and it'll take effect later when eventually I hear the neder. But again, the point is, maybe at some point he has to hear the neder in order to actually be able to be made for it. So in fact, if we say l'chishmaino, he would say the fairest, I'm being mevatel, I'm being made for this neder now in advance, and it should take effect when you actually feel like telling me what the neder is. So the Gemara asks, in that case, v'lomali min hashta. So in that case, why would he have to say as of now? Either way, that afara is not. If you're going to say that afara is not going to work until he actually hears the neder, then why bother? So let him actually wait until he hears the neder, and then he'll be made for on that day. Why should he? So it's one thing if you're going to tell me he can be made for without hearing the neder. Well, then fine. He's accomplishing a lot by saying I'm made for in advance. And according to Rabbi Yezer, that would work, and it'll be fine. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't. But if you're telling me that anyway, he can only be mefer when he hears the neder, why would he even bother doing it in advance? He might as well do it on that day. The answer is okay, Kasavra, because he might figure, Joma Matridna Ishaita. At that time, when she finally gets around to telling me the neder, I might be busy and I might forget to be mefer it that same day. So therefore, I want to do it in advance. But that doesn't necessarily prove that he could be mefer without ever hearing it. Maybe, in fact, he does have to hear it at some point in order for the hafara to work. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, Ha'oimel apotropos, a person says to an apotropos, which is to a caretaker, so he's going out of town again, so he appoints a caretaker to manage his property and whatever while he's away, and he says, Kol nedarim shenederes ishti mikan v'atsh'ovim makom ploini, Hofer, he tells the apotropos, any nedarim that my wife will end up making from now when I leave until I get back from such and such a place, Hofer, you should be made for them. The Hafer law, now the apotropos goes and does that. He is made for those nedarim. Yocho yu muforin, you would think that those nedarim are actually mufer and that works. No, Tamad Loima, therefore the pasuk says, Ishaf yikimenu, the Ishaf yifrenanu, the pasuk says, her husband should be made for, can establish them, and her husband can be made for them. So since it says her husband twice, then it means Davka the husband can do it, but a shliach cannot do it. Divrei Rav Yoshiya, that's what Rav Yoshiya says. So Rav Yoshiya says the husband cannot appoint a shliach for being made for the nedarim. It has to be the husband himself. And by the way, the Rishonim point out that the same thing would be with the father as well, because by the father also it says, either because by the father it also says Aviha a couple of times, or because we have a hekish between the husband and the father, as we mentioned before. Either way, the same basic din would apply to the father as well, according to Rabbi Yoshiya, that he can't make a shliach. Rabbi Yonasan says, how could you say that? The fact is, we find throughout the whole Torah that a person's shliach is considered like himself. So therefore, yes, a shliach should very well be able to be made for the neder. Which the Ran brings from a Gemara in Nazir, where it also discusses this point, that in fact, Rabbi Yonasan is following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer, we said before, said that a husband can be made for his wife's nedarim even before she made them. So Rabbi Yonasan is following that logic and saying, therefore, that the same way as the husband can be made for the nedarim in advance, the same way he can appoint a shliach in advance to be made for the nedarim. According to the Chachamim, that you can't be made for nedarim in advance, there's no reason you should be able to appoint a shliach in advance either. We can't appoint a shliach for something that he himself can't do at that time.
They're not the same, because if the shliach is appointed and the husband divorces afterwards, the shliach still cannot mofer the neder.
Well, right. What does that have to do with anything, though? The point is, we're talking about while she's married, we're saying...
Well, we're not saying while she's married. We're saying we're comparing the shliach to the husband.
Yeah, but what we're saying... But listen, here's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Yoshia, there's not to talk about, a shliach can't be made for an adorim period. According to Rabbi Yonasan, he could, because shluchah shalom kamosai. Now, what we're saying is Rabbi Yonasan's opinion has to be within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Chachamim, who hold that the husband cannot be made for nedarim in advance, they would also say he can't appoint in advance a shliach to be made for nedarim, because how could he appoint a shliach for something that he at the time himself is not able to do? He can't be made for her neder the day before she makes it, so he can't appoint a shliach the day before she makes the neder either. Only according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you can be made for in advance. So according to him, then you can also appoint a shliach in advance. So then Rabbi Yonasan is working within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, the Gemara explains. So has nothing to do with it. If the husband divorces her, of course. If the husband divorces her, he loses the rights to be made for her nedarim. At that point, sure, the shliach would also lose the rights to be made for her nedarim. But that's no different than any other shliach. He would say the same thing. I can appoint a shliach to take truma from my grain. But then if I go and sell the grain before the shliach does his job, then he can't do it anymore. So, yeah, of course the shliach's powers are going to expire as soon as the mishaleach's powers expire, sure. But we're talking about that you can't appoint somebody to do something which you yourself are not able to do at that time. Consider, for example, you can appoint somebody to be a shliach to give truma for you, because conceivably you are allowed la'alacha to separate truma at that time. You're just not available to do it. You can appoint a shliach, let's say, a husband can appoint a shliach to give a get to his wife. Same thing. Conceivably, he could give her the get right now. He's not in town, so he can't. Therefore, he appoints a shliach. But in print, it would have been halachically possible. But over here, if according to Chachamim, it's not possible, api halacha, to be made for the neder in advance, then you can't appoint a shliach for it in advance either. So therefore, Rabbi Yonasan's opinion can only work according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now, let's continue, going back to the Gemara. We're trying to prove the question of whether the husband can be mefer without hearing the neder. So here we're not talking about matters of shluchim, we're just talking about can the husband be mefer without hearing. Well, let's consider, the Gemara says, V'afilu Rav Yoshia, le'kamer, elam shum b'dzeres ha'kosim, u'isha hikimenu, v'isha hiferenu. Even Rav Yoshia is not, why is Rav Yoshia saying a shliach can't do it? Not because there's a problem with the husband not having heard the neder, but because Xeris HaKosev, that only the husband can do, according to him, Xeris HaKosev, that only the husband can do Hafara. But in general, of course, he agrees that Shlucha Shalom Kamosei, and so therefore, Vahar Lo Shnielei. Now the fact is, even if you were to say that a Shliach, so whether you say a Shliach works or not, either way, the fact is the husband has not heard the neder, so therefore, wouldn't that show that you don't need the husband to hear the neder? Now, the Ran says, okay, well, why don't you say, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the shliach hearing the neder is the equivalent of the husband hearing the neder. And the answer is that no, because you can only have, you can, so you can only have the shliach, you can only have a shliach to, the answer is really because how would it be possible to have a case that the husband cannot be made for because he hadn't heard and the shliach could be made for because he had heard? That's impossible. But even if you're going to say shlucha shalom kamosai, you can never say that the shliach is stronger than the shalayach. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yoshia, you can't be made for in advance. But even according to Rabbi Yoshia, though, it seems that there's no problem because you didn't hear. The problem is only because you can't use a shliach. But implying, if it weren't for that problem, the fact that you didn't hear it is not a problem. And then Tosfos points out another point as well. The Rosh also points out this. It's one thing to talk about shluchos for an action, or at least to say something. You can't really talk about shluchos to hear something. So you can't really say that the husband makes the guy a shliach to hear the neder. So what are you going to say? So you're going to say the shliach hasn't heard the neder, the husband hasn't heard the neder either, and according to Rabbi Yoshia, it doesn't work to do a shliach, but he says that's zeres hakosim. According to Rabbi Yonasan, it does work, because shluchos shalom kamosei. But they both seem to be comfortable with the idea that even without actually hearing the neder, you can be made for it. Because again, the husband hasn't heard the neder, and you can't say the shliach is stronger than him. Or because you can't really appoint the shliach to hear something, you can only appoint the shliach to do something. So doesn't that show, therefore, that you don't need to hear the neder in order to be made for it? Because it's not necessarily a proof. Maybe not. Maybe over here also, the husband is saying to the shliach, when I hear the neder, so he's telling the nedarim, he's telling the shliach, he's telling the apotropos, I want you to be meichel the nedarim. That haftara will remain hanging until I actually hear the nedarim, and then at that point, then the haftara that you said should take effect. But not without that, without the husband ever hearing the nedarim, that doesn't necessarily demonstrate that the nedarim could be mufer. So again, the Gemara asks, in that case, why does he bother? Same question as before. In that case, why does he bother telling the shliach at all? He might as well just be made for as soon as he himself gets back to town and hears the neder. And the answer is, like before, Sabar, he may figure, Duma Matsuridna, I might be busy, and therefore I might forget, and I might not be made for the neder. And then also the Gemara goes on to say, now according to Rabbi Eliezer, why does he not make for an advance? And again, the reason is because he figures I might forget, I might be angry, I might be whatever, and therefore he doesn't want to be made for an advance. I might be too busy before I go to be able to do that. Better he figures to appoint an apotropos. And also, again, he doesn't, maybe, after all, maybe there are nedarim that she might make during that time that he does approve of, like we said before, the svarah that Tosfos says, so therefore that would be a reason why he might instead appoint a shliach. Then the Ran brings up another point. Why don't we say, so what? So why doesn't he, so let him say any nedarim that she, any nedarim, let him say in advance, any nedarim that, let him say in advance, any nedarim that you make during the time I'm away, then I'm made for in advance. And again, the Ran gives an answer because, he figures that I might not be able to take it back. When the apotropos does it, then after all, I can always retract, I can always deappoint the shliach, and therefore the nedarim will be in effect. So therefore that would be a reason why he might prefer to do it through a shliach rather than appointed to Rabbi Eliezer doing it in advance. So again, the Gemara has left the question open. The Gemara will learn tomorrow a different question of Rabbi Bachama, but actually the Ran says, since the next question is going to be about a cheresh, about a husband who's unable to hear whether he can be made for his wife's nedarim, and the answer is going to be that the answer is that he could, or the answer is actually going to be that he can't, that we have a gzeres hakosav saying that he can't, then the implication the Ran says is, other than that, he is actually able to be made for even though he hasn't heard the neder. So we'll take up that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But the Ran says the Gemara may have right now left this question open, but ultimately we're going to be able to answer it on the basis of the next question of Rami Bachama, which we'll learn tomorrow, that yes, he can be made for Nedarim even without hearing them. And that being the case, we don't need all those doichkim we said before. We don't need now that when the father in our Mishnah says, I'm made for in advance any of you Nedarim, that it means later on he's going to have to hear them. It doesn't have to be that when the husband says, I'm made for any nedarim that you say, it means that he has to hear them later. We can take it exactly as it sounded, that it means that he's saying, I'm made for your nedarim, I'm made for your nedarim, that any nedarim that you made while you were in my household, or any nedarim that you are going to make from now on, and that will work, even though he hasn't heard the nedarim, because that is how it works in the end. The husband or the father can in fact be made for nedarim, even though he never hears them. So the Ran says that's going to emerge from the Gemara that we'll learn tomorrow. Best Hashem.
Shkoyach.
Welcome to you.